Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Dave Fisher, principal of Bob Jones Academy. The title of his message is, What Kind of Christian Soldier Are You? The text is from Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 8, verse 4.
Monday is Memorial Day, a day set aside to honor those that have died in service of our country. Memorial Day really started to be commemorated or honored at a time of the American Civil War, the bloodiest war in American history. Our thoughts in recent days have been turned toward conflict again, as we have had our men and women involved in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I think it's important, as we have, in a sense, an awareness of a mindset of military engagements right now with Memorial Day, as well as knowing that we have men and women in harm's way today, both in the Middle East and literally around the world, that I thought it would be good for us to make a parallel, which the Bible makes a constant parallel, to the Christian walk and the Christian life, the parallel to a Christian warfare. And so today, I would like us to look at some lessons from the battlefield for the Christian soldier. The songwriter aptly puts it, Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? And I'd like for us to examine this morning, what type of a Christian soldier are we? And I would like to look at the Word of God at some battlefields and see if we can learn some lessons from a battlefield that will help us as Christian soldiers. Turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 7. And the first lesson that I would like us to look at deals with the commitment of the Christian soldier. A very familiar passage in Judges chapter 7 is dealing with Gideon's army. Now, I think we can make some mind parallels with what has gone on recent days. You would not expect General Franks to do what Gideon did. And in fact, Gideon would not have expected to do what he did. He was getting ready to go to battle. He was outnumbered. He had 32,000 men. He gets ready to go to battle, and the Lord says, you got too many. Look, if you would, at verse 1 of chapter 7 of the book of Judges. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel should vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. You know, there were a lot of discussions in the last few weeks or last few months about, hey, we need to get more troops over to the Middle East. We're ill prepared for this conflict. And we need more troops to do the job. Here, the Lord is saying, I want to get the glory. I don't want the troops to say, hey, it was the might of Israel's army. And so he said to Gideon, I want you to whittle down your army. And he had a test there. First of all, he just simply said, any of you that are afraid, go home. And out of that 32,000, 22,000 went home, leaving about 10,000 men. And then he said, well, still too many. And you know how that the Lord made another test of who will get down, how they're going to drink of water, whether they get down on their belly and lap it up, or whether they're careful and watchful and scoop it up, looking for the enemy, always diligent, always alert, always watchful. And the Lord said, I want those men. And so out of 32,000, there were 300 left. I don't know about you, but I don't think if I were getting ready to fight a military engagement that I'd want to just have 300 men. But that is exactly what Gideon had. But Gideon had something that most people don't have. He had the Lord, giving him those instructions because the Lord was going to help fight this battle. Now, again, as the story goes, you know that they had the trumpets and the pitchers, and they broke those and put to flight the armies of the Midianites. And there's an interesting verse that I would like for us to learn a lesson from this battlefield. If you would, look at chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we find that the host of the army of the Midianites have been fleeing with the success of the 300, the work of those 300. And as they flee, the rest of the people of Israel join in the mopping up episode, as many coalition nations and other nations want to join in right now, which is going on in Iraq. But in verse 4, it says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing." The Christian soldier must be determined if he's going to go to battle for the Lord. The Christian soldier must be diligent if he's going to go to battle for the Lord. I'm looking at a lot of students who have endured a long year. And what are you doing? You're not home in bed right now. You're not working at a job where you can get money right now. You are doing what many thousands are not doing right now. You're back in school. And I'm sure, like many of the teachers, we're weary of school. And there's going to be times in our life and our service for the Lord that, yes, we're going to be weary, faint. But one of the characteristics that I think is going to be an earmark of a soldier for Christ is that in the midst of weariness, in the midst of faint, of hunger in this case, of just the constant, "Hey, we fought the battle. It's time we could go to bed." No. "It's time we could leave it to others." No, they were there, weary, yet pursuing. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ." Galatians 6, 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 2 Thessalonians 3, 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." A lesson I think we can learn from this battlefield for each of us this morning is, are we weary in our well-doing? Could we be like these 300 of Gideon's army and say, "I'm weary, but I'm going to be diligent. I'm weary, but I'm going to be determined." And I think each of us can take heart to that as we look at the days and weeks ahead of us as we face in summer school. Second lesson from a battlefield deals with the conduct of the soldier. And if you would, turn to Joshua chapter 7. And this lesson, as we learn for about the conduct or character of the Christian soldier, really exemplifies, again, Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, a crisis or a testing reveals what you are. It doesn't always make you what you are. It reveals the character. And we find in this passage, Joshua chapter 7, the story of the Battle of Jericho, and now the preparation for the Battle of Ai. And you know, again, the Lord wrought a great victory at Jericho, a fortified city, and the walls came a-tumbling down. But after that victory, they go up against Ai, and in this passage, look at verse 2 of chapter 7 of Joshua. It says, "Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said, Let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor there thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate of Sherebim, and smote them from in the going down. Wherefore, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now here we see the reverse. Here we see, instead of taking a whole lot of men, and God says, take a few, here they said, we got a whole lot, and we don't need all of them. This is a mopping. Look what we did to Jericho. Ai smaller. We don't need a lot of men. And I think you know the reason for the defeat at Ai. It was because of the sin of Achan. Look down at verse 20. And it says, when Achan is finally confronted, and it says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You know, in recent days, we've seen a lot of looting in Iraq. Here was a soldier who we find back in verse 1 of this chapter. He trespassed by taking of the accursed or the forbidden thing. The soldiers were told, don't take anything of the wealth. And you know that Achan did. And as a result, the defeat at Ai. But I find it interesting that Achan did what many Christian soldiers do. He took of the Babylonian garments. He took of the world. And what did he do with it? He couldn't parade it and say, hey, look what I got. Look at the wealth. Look at the garments. In many Christian young people, they want to partake of the world, but they got to do it in secret. They got to do it in hiding. They can't come out and say, hey, mom and dad, look what I got. They can't come out and say, hey, look, administration of the university, look what I got. Oh, they want it, but they have to hide it. And that says something about the possessions which Achan took. It also illustrates the fact of his selfishness, his self-centeredness. He jeopardized the whole company because of his own personal interest. And the lesson I'd like us to learn from this battlefield is the Christian soldier should not be distracted from the things of this world. A familiar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Another parallel passage, which is dealing more with finances, but it's just, I think, an attitude of heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into the foolishness and hurtful lust, which drown men into destruction, perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after and erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But thou, O men and women of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And here's the instruction to the Christian soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. See, Achan got his eyes distracted to the things of this world. And it's so easy for us as Christian soldiers to get our eyes off of what is more precious, more valuable, and get our eyes on things of this world. And as a result, we hinder and hurt the work of the cause of Christ. A third lesson I would have us to look at from the battlefield deals with the cause of the soldier. And again, if you turn to a familiar passage, 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the account of David fighting Goliath. And again, since you were children, you heard about David and Goliath. And in verse 28 of chapter 17, it says, "And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men," it's being David, "and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, thy naughtiness of thine heart, from thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" That's one of my favorite expressions from the Bible. Is there not a cause? You know, in recent days, the cause of the Operation Iraqi Freedom has been called into question. In fact, even this morning in the news, there is word out of one of the most esteemed senators of our country has taken the Bush administration to task about the motives and the explanation about the reason to go to war. We've heard the slogans, "No blood for oil." There have been questions about, should we go to war? Is there a cause? And you know, that was true in David's day. He's coming there by the request of his father to see his, take things to his brothers. And when he gets there, he's bewildered because here you have the army of God, in a sense, fearful of taking on the Philistines. Look at verse 32. And it says, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him." Speaking of Goliath, "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, can you see the picture? Here's a little shepherd boy going, "Hey, king, don't be scared. I'm here." Could you see that picture? Could you, you know, it's sort of like when I was young, there was a cartoon called Mighty Mouse. I don't know if you, "Here I come to save the day." That means Mighty Mouse is on the way. Here's David. He's saying, "Hey, king, don't be fearful. I'm here. I'll go fight if you don't want to." And he makes the account of how he defeated the various animals that threatened the herds, the sheep. But I think verse 37 says it all. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." The lesson I think we find from this battlefield is that the Christian soldier must be devoted. He must be dedicated. Dedicated to what? If it's like Achan, dedicated to self, dedicated to what I will give. Hey, there comes a point where you're not going to be motivated out of a selfless dedication. But here is a cause. And I think of our men and women that are serving in Iraq right now. What motivates them to leave home, to put their life on the line for our country? Hey, that's a cause greater than themselves. And we as Christian soldiers need to realize we have the greatest cause of all. And that's we're doing battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would echo in our ears this morning the phrase of David, "Is there not a cause?" Yes, there is. And that is a cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "This charge, and I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." And then he goes on and he instructs Timothy and he says, "In the last days, I charge thee before the Lord, there'll come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll depart from the faith." And then he says, "But I'm ready now to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Over the years, I'm sure the professors in the back could echo how many times we've seen Christian young people say, "Hey, I want to go out and serve the Lord." But they've turned. They departed from the faith. They departed from a labor of service for the Lord. And it illustrates the fact that they have not been devoted to a cause. They have been half-hearted. And if we're going to do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to illustrate in our lives this dedication, this devotion to the cause of Christ. And I would challenge you to be like the Apostle Paul, who one day could say, hey, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is the cause. But the last lesson I'd like us to look at is the lesson that deals with the conquest of the soldier. And here, if you would turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in this battlefield, we find the king Jehoshaphat. I like to study Jehoshaphat. He's one of my favorite characters. He's a man that has many failings and a man that has many successes. This passage is not dealing with a failure, although a previous passage deals with a failure. Jehoshaphat did something the Lord told him not to do. He was trying to defend his kingdom, but he made an alliance with wicked Ahab. And I think you remember the story. Jehoshaphat was a very gullible king. And Ahab came to him and said, hey, if we're going to go out to battle, why don't you ride in my chariot? Why don't you put on my armor? Well, that's just after the prophet told Ahab he's going to be slain in that battle. And so he was going to trick the prophet and trick God, so he thought, and put his armor and have Jehoshaphat ride in his chariot. Well, Jehoshaphat, of course, lives from that battle, and Ahab was killed. But the illustration there was that Jehoshaphat relied on the help of an ungodly neighbor for the defense of his country. You know, the Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 31:1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are strong. But they look not to the Holy One in Israel, neither seek the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Well, that's something that Jehoshaphat didn't remember. And by the way, that's a lesson that we as Americans need to remember. It's very easy for us to see our smart weapons and see the technology by which we overwhelmed the Iraqi army. And it's very easy for us to say, hey, our hope is in the armed forces of our country. And I'm the first to salute the men and women that serve in our armed forces. But we must remember, our hope is not in George Bush. Our hope is not in our military. Our hope is not in our atomic bombs and our weapon system. Our hope is in the Lord. And it took time for Jehoshaphat to learn that lesson. And now in chapter 20, we find that in verse 14, that a prophet comes to Jehoshaphat. And he says in verse 15, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Time is fleeting, and I don't have time to go through all this. But you know how they fought this battle? They called the priest together. They called the choir together, and they started singing. They started singing praises. And while they were singing praises, it says that the Lord set an ambush. The Lord brought the victory. And literally, Jehoshaphat didn't have to do any fighting. And the lesson I'd like each of us to learn from this is that the Christian soldier will be delivered. The Christian soldier will be delivered. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hey, we are in a battle. And every day we face the battle of temptation. We face the battle of discouragement. We face the battle of work. And yes, at times we may be weary in well-doing. But young people, could we remember that faith is the victory that overcometh the world? Can we be assured that the fact that we're on the winning side? How many times did we hear George Bush or Donald Rumsfeld say at the outset of this war, when things were not going as well as the media wanted, they kept on saying, "Don't worry, we will win. Don't worry, we will win. Don't worry, we will win." Can I say that to each of us with the authority not of a human man, but with the authority of the Word of God? We are assured of the victory because the Lord is our captain. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Are we rejoicing today in the midst of conflict that we're on the winning side? That should bring confidence, but that also should bring motivation for our service for the Lord. My question to you this morning is, what kind of Christian soldier are you? Can we learn from the battlefield that we need to be committed to the service of the Lord? Can we learn from the battlefield that our conduct needs to be that which becometh the gospel? Can we learn from the battlefield that there is a cause greater than ourselves? And that's the cause of the gospel of Christ. And can we learn from the battlefield that there is conquest? There is going to be victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that each of us, as we're reminded this weekend of the men and women who gave their lives in service of our country, that we would be stirred in our service for the Lord, that we would have the same character traits that we would desire from those that are defending our country, that we would exhibit those in our lives as we seek to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that each of us may answer the question, "Am I a soldier of the cross?" by a "Yes, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to serve Thee." May we exhibit the characteristics of soldiers that we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith."
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Dave Fisher, principal of Bob Jones Academy. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.